that book. And it's a joy through many circumstances, trials, and tribulations. As you know, Paul himself had a real hard time in this city. Yet he counted it all joy for what was laid before him. So, I ask you the question I asked in my blog, is the resurrection nonsense? Is there a reason for believing in the resurrection? As I subbed on Friday, I had the dubious honor of reading some Easter stories to the students. I read three little books. They're about the Easter bunny, the Easter cat, and the Easter family. And we looked for eggs, and we saw how cats have fur balls. Thought were eggs. And no mention of Jesus. No mention of the resurrection. So the question is it nonsense? Are we believing in nonsense? An Arlington, Virginia minister once said that nonsense, we have closed our minds to such trivial considerations as questions of the resurrection of Christ. If you fundamentalists wish to believe that nonsense, we have no objection, but we have more important things to preach than the presence or absence of an empty tomb 20 centuries ago. Well, friends, dear loved ones, I'm going to present to you some nonsense this morning. Some nonsense that the world cannot grasp or understand because their minds don't get it. They don't get that there's something beyond what is seen, because what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And they, somehow they don't get it. But I understand that. I was one of them at one time. I didn't get it. I remember I was driving from college up to my grandparents' and aunt and uncle's house. They all lived together. And I was driving up Tatum Boulevard, for those who know Phoenix. And I was approaching 44th Street. And all of a sudden, a song came on the radio. And remember the song, Second Chapter of Acts, right? The Easter song? Hear the bells ringing. And I just started weeping. He is risen. He's risen. Now, I was driving there to go to Catholic Mass with my family, who later asked me to quit because I would make editorial comments during the service. But you understand that something's different in our lives. That when we say Jesus is Lord and we believe He's raised from the dead, there's something substantially, qualitatively different. And we're nonsense to people. We're weird. Or weirder in some cases.
Hallelujah.
So I'm going to present to you this spiritual reality that Jesus, in fact, did raise from the dead. And as you heard in the cantata this morning, there's a lot of evidence. We're going to look at the evidence of a life that's been changed by Jesus. That's what we're going to look at this morning. And the big idea of the passage before us is joy is found in the power and the process of the resurrection. Read that with me, if you will. Joy is found in the power and the process of the resurrection. I'm going to present to you that the resurrection is not just instantaneous, but there's a process that we go through to attain the resurrection from the dead on this planet, in this life, and then when we're raptured or we happen to be dead and picked out of the grave, then we're completely transformed or resurrected in that sense. It is not a restoration. It is not a reliving or revival. It is a complete transformation. Does that make sense what the resurrection is? Joy, first of all, is not found in our religious or personal identity. Let's find Philippians chapter 3, if you will. I'm looking at verses 1 through 6. Allow me to read from the New International Version, 84. Finally, my brothers, don't you love when pastors say finally? And you're going, land the plane. Finally, my brothers, in this huge summation of this argument, rejoice. That's an imperative, active present. Continue to rejoice in the Lord. Not in your circumstances, but rejoice in the Lord. And it's no trouble for me to write the same thing to you again. As if he's stuttering or repeating himself. It's no trouble. Why? Because it's a safeguard for you. Then he says, watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those manipulators of the flesh. For it is we who are the true circumcision, we who worship the Spirit of God, we who glorify in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have more reason from such confidence. If anyone else thinks he has reason to put his confidence in the flesh, I have more. I was circumcised on the eighth day. I had nothing to do with that. But my parents followed the law of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, a Pharisee. He believed in the resurrection. He kept the laws. As for zeal, he proved it by persecuting, hunting down the church. And as for legalistic righteousness, the word is there, blameless or faultless. If you looked at his life, he's pretty cool. He's the guy you wanted a daughter to date because he's perfect. He had it all together. He was great. Notice he says there, as legalistic righteousness is concerned, that outside righteousness, his life lined up with all the good things that religion would say. I was talking to someone recently and they said, I don't do that religious stuff. And I answered back, I don't do it either. We're not talking about a religion. We're talking about a relationship with the living God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a different beast altogether, if you will, a different nature. Our identity that is found in joy is not in our religious identity. You may walk into a church, but that doesn't make you a Christian any more than a mouse getting into a cookie jar. Make it a cookie. You can walk into a garage and it doesn't make you a car. Unless you're a transformer. I was thinking about that actually. Okay. But you get the idea what I'm saying, right? You got to be a Christian to walk into the building. Now, we enjoy our multi-purpose building here. And it happened again Friday night, the Passover. People walked in and looked and stared. It's not a church. Not in the traditional classic sense. It's not. It's a multi-purpose building. Okay, so this side's against this side. We'll play four quarters. No. Okay. All right. And so we realize that. But it's not in the building. It's in the people. The people are the church. It's the relationship with Jesus that makes us the people. There are no letters after Paul's name. PhDs, MSs, BSs, ADSs, ASEs, HVACs don't make you any better in the church. I have an MDiv. Doesn't make me any better. I have the gift of pastor. That makes me more responsible. That's a whole different beast. But here we're talking about your personal identity, your personal pedigree. Your parents were Christian. Your grandparents were Christian. That don't make you a Christian. There's a teaching out there that we're all the children of God. Right? You heard that teaching? Guess what? We are not. We're all God's creation, but we're not all God's children. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, in John chapter 1, it says, those who believe in the name of Jesus, those who believe in Him and received Him, to them gave He the power to become what? If they were already children, why do they got to become children? Huh? Huh? So, those who received the Lord Jesus Christ, who believe on His name, He gave the power to become children of God, even though believe on His name is the rest of the verse quote, not born of flesh or the will of man or of a husband, but born of God. Okay, that's what makes you born again. You're born from above. So if you were already children of God, why would you need to be born a? Why would you need to be born again? But you are God's creation. And you're specially chosen by Him to be the person you are. You have the only DNA that you have. No one else has that DNA. And don't get it registered because I'll find you. But anyway, you're it. Your ears. No one else has your ears. And you go, thank God. You are unique. He personally crafted you in the womb to get a chance to come out of that womb and to become one of His children. That's what that means. So your pedigree, you're born in a Christian household, that's like a mouse in a cookie jar deal. You have to receive the Lord Jesus Christ beyond all that. And notice it's not religious effort. No religious effort can get you into heaven. Verse 4. Yeah, it's verse 4. Sorry, I read the whole passage, didn't I? Though I myself have more reason, confidence than everyone else, if anyone thinks he has reason to put the confidence in the flesh, I have more. I was circumcised in the eighth day, people of Israel, he's got this good pedigree. And notice at the end there, he says, I was a Pharisee, I kept the law. I zealously persecuted the church because I thought they were cult. I followed all the rules. I was legalistically righteous. I was blameless. And yet it wasn't enough, was it? It was not enough. I think of somebody who wants to hang glide. And they're on the cliff, right? They get on the cliff, and what do? Jump. Yeah, you jump. But what are you holding on to? Glider. The glider. You hope you're holding on to the glider. You hope you're strapped in really well, right? Because if you're not, what happens? Yeah, you become the coyote, right? Beep, beep. You know, you got the coyote. That you just suddenly. Now, let's suppose. Yes, he does. Exactly. Now. Thank you for paying attention. Okay. And so, just for fun, you try to glide without the glider. What happens? Dun, 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 dun. Okay. Yeah, you get splatted, all right? So you need some help. You need some assistance. But in truth, you need an apparatus to do it. You're just holding on. You with me on that? So you're really not gliding. You're just kind of holding on to the thing that glides. Same thing when we go to heaven. In order to get to heaven, you need something else to get you there. You can't get there on your own. You can jump as hard and as high as you want. What's going to happen? You're going to fall down again still. You're going to become that cut and splat. And, you know. Yes, exactly. Okay, she's got it, man. Okay. And that's what we're talking about. You can't get in heaven on your own human effort. You can try as hard as you want to run off that cliff. And maybe this time it'll work. The problem is you only get one try to get it. Right? It's like the Japanese practicing kamikazes. They sent their second best. Think about that for a second. Okay. Okay. So to get their human effort's not going to get you into heaven. And you know that. Yep. The human effort's just not going to get it. You need something else beside yourself. You need the resurrected life to live the Christian life. Or as I suggest, you need a makeover. You need a complete transformation and makeover. And that's what Paul's saying here, because he says it's not by human effort. Joy is found in the power and the process of the resurrection. Verse 7. But whatever was to my profit, according to the world's standards, I consider it loss. It's gone. It's been damaged. It's taken away for the sake of, you read that there? What's it say? Sake of, verse 7. For sake of Christ. Not Christianity, not religion, but for the sake of Christ, for His person. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness, the super superlative greatness of knowing Christ Jesus. That's a personal relationship. For whose sake I have lost all things. Now for the big bad word. You ready? I consider them dung. I consider them rubbish. I consider them scat, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him. That's the word there. It's a very vulgar term in Greek. That's why we polite it up a bit in our English language. So whatever you want to say about your human effort, and I'm going to get to heaven because I'm a good person, or you tell a new age, or better luck next time, who believe in reincarnation and stuff? No, there is none. It is appointed for man to die once and then the judgment. And if you're not found in Christ, you don't make it. Because in Him's the power of the resurrection to live the life that He desires, right? You all know this. There is no one else. There is no competition or comparison. He alone has the words of life. You can read all the how-to books, but this book supersedes them all. But notice there's an all-compassion, an all-consuming compassion to know Jesus and the process of the resurrected power. You see verse 10 there? Let's back it up, verse 9. Found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes through law. The word "the" is not there in the Greek. It's just any kind of rules or regulations. Can't get me it. But that which in through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God is by faith. I want to know Him, an intense purpose. I want to know Christ. Not just know Him, I want to know His person. Because He is the resurrection and the life. He's the power of the resurrection. And notice, the resurrection presupposes death. Because you've got to be resurrected from. So sharing in the fellowship of His sufferings. Becoming like Him in His death. There's that process. So somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. I don't know how I'm going to get there, but I know what? I'm going to get there. I don't know how it's going to happen. Somehow, I'm going to attain the resurrection from the dead. I don't know what process or what, but right now, whatever trial you're going through, or difficulty or challenge or tragedy or drama, the Lord's using it to transform you, that suffering, into likeness of His sufferings, so that you somehow will attain resurrection from the everybody, from the dead. Bless you. Now, this is new to some people because there's a lot of teaching out there that says it's a poof. If you are an either-or person, you have trouble with this. It's either poof or it's process. You can't have both. I think you can have both because it's both and. The poof is you're suddenly changed and you're perfect and wow, you just, your life has turned around and you always do the right things all the time and you know, that's a mannequin Christianity, but anyway. And so, but I think there's a process too, because I think some things in your life change dramatically at the moment. I know they do. My life did. My arthritis left me. My clairvoyance left me. All the powers I had in the evil world all went poof. So I believe that happens and that's true. But I'll guarantee you, since 1972, there's been a long process for some other things. Can you say the same end to that? Yeah, you've got this long process. And you're going, how can that be? Well, let me explain. I think you got a good question there. This is a monarch butterfly caterpillar. For those who study these, you identify that right away, right? Okay. Huh? I'm sorry? Well, I was told it was a monarch from the notes. So if it's not, you might be right. It might be a tiger swallowtail, but I was told it's a caterpillar. Okay. Let's pretend it's a monarch butterfly caterpillar. Use your caps now. All right. So he gets up, he tags himself to this branch, and then he starts to create a cocoon around him, which is also called a chrysalis. Very good. Okay. Right. This is a chrysalis. You're very good. Okay. And so he's burying himself. Okay. And as you look closely, stuff's happening on the inside. Guess what? Nothing. And you see that little stuff shrivel up there? That's the skin that's kind of peeling off. And so now he's inside and he's skinless. Okay. All right. And so he's going to be buried for a wee bit, right? He's went through the process of dying, and now he's going to be buried. Okay. So he's buried in this chrysalis for how many days? Close. Yeah, 7 to 10 days. Yeah, very good. And the guys would take longer, 14 days. Yeah, I remember at the wedding, yeah. Okay, and you had to coax them out of the box. Okay, so they're buried for 7 to 10 days, some 14 days, all right? So they're buried. So they went through the process of dying, and now they're being buried, and guess what happens? Poof. There's the poof. They're resurrected, but are they done yet? If you were to help them out, what would happen? They would die, or they're definitely they can't fly. And then they would die. So you're right. Yeah, because the struggle of getting out does what? It strengthens their wings. So there's the process of the resurrection. They're already resurrected. They're brand new. Now, Jesus' resurrection was probably a poof. That's why in the readings you heard this morning, was it bright light, just a flash of white light? Or was this slow process as the sun rises? You know, we don't know, but I guess the white light flashed myself because of the radiation. But anyway, and so that's a whole other theory there. Okay, so but I do want to say, though, that he's resurrected, right? You agree with that? He's transformed. He's no longer a caterpillar. He's now a butterfly, but he's got to go through this process. And we forget sometimes that we're done. Oh, I poofed in Jesus. I'm good to go. But there's this process of getting resurrected in time and space. In the heavens, you're already resurrected. In the heavens, you're seated with Jesus. But in time and space, as this reality is acted out, you got to go through the process. And sometimes you have to grieve, right? And I like to tell people, I can't help you there. You just got to go through it.
Oh, gee, thanks. Why'd it come to you?
I don't know. Okay, so you got to go through this process, and then finally, one day, a beautiful monarch butterfly, and that's what you all going to be. You're in Jesus Christ. You understand the power and the process of the resurrection. You're going to look like a beautiful butterfly. Now, I don't know. I didn't study all this, but I'm suggesting some butterflies have different markings and are unique. Okay, is that true? Does somebody know that? Because just like you, we're all going to be different. We're going to recognize each other in heaven, but you're going to be different. And the answer is how? I don't know. Somehow, we're going to recognize each other. Okay? And that's the beauty and the power of this awesome reality. The butterfly is now free to fly. Don't start singing, please. Okay, Jesus point number one. In your pursuing the Lord Jesus Christ, embrace this process of the resurrection. Because you are sharing in the fellowship of sufferings of Jesus. Let me pause just for a moment to think about that. You know there's a process. You got it in your head, but it hurts sometimes. It hurts. And you ask questions, why is this happening to me? Why? And the simplest answer is this. That's the simplest answer. You're just suffering for Jesus and don't even know it. And somebody else is watching you suffer, right? There's a saying I made up a number of years ago. I finally get to use it. Slivers are one thing, the cross is another. A lot of us get slivers, and we whine and whine and whine. Oh, it hurts so much. Oh, but the cross is permanent. Slivers just damage you for a wee bit, and you can take them out. But if you go to the cross, you're going to be transformed. And the longer you wait to get to the cross, the thicker it gets, and the higher it gets, and the bigger it gets. So I'm going to suggest you go to the cross sooner than later, when it's baby cross instead of huge humongous cross. What do I mean by that? I mean go through the trial. How many people try to avoid their trials? They do more work, hard work, to get away out of working and going to the cross instead of just go to the cross and get it over with. Now, mind you can't crucify yourself, but in that process, you're going to be that butterfly in that part of your life. So engage the process. Grab onto it and grip it. We have a saying as you walk out here, the wounded wine and the broken serve. You know where you're at. If you've got slivers, what are you doing? Yeah, you get blood infested and you start whining. So we know where you're at in the cross. You're not near the cross. You just got a sliver. But if you're serving, you've been broken and made whole again. And your body's been, your life in that area of your life has been resurrected because you don't care what people think anymore. And that's what it's all about there. Men, we have no idea what this is all about. We watch it happen, but we have no idea. When our wives go through the trial and tribulation and tribulation of having a baby, it's painful, I hear rumors. I've witnessed it, but I've never had it. I've had kidney stones, they say it's close, but at least what the women passes is far more productive and helpful. But the truth is, we still don't grab onto that. And I'll guarantee not one mother in this room would give up that trial, that tragedy, that trauma for what they are sitting next to. Amen? Yeah. The joy that comes from the process of the tribulation and travail cannot compare to the tribulation and travail. Am I right, women? Help me. Yeah. Yeah. There's such a joy. Such a joy. And the same thing's true at the resurrection. Nothing compares to the pain you're going through right now. And I know some of you are going through dramatic, deep pain. I know it. Just not physical, just not emotional. Total. Emotional, physical, spiritual. You're just going through all this pain. But I want to tell you, press through. Press through. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't try to end run the cross. Do it. Go through it. And you'll have joy on the other side like the babies you hold in your arms. And you can all say, thank you, Jesus, for that. Amen. In building families, embrace the power of the resurrection, not just the process, embrace the power in your homes. And so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. You have to do this inventory in your own house, in your own homes. Is your home a victorious home? Do you move from one victory to another, one victory to another? Now, mind you, there's that process. There's a valley between the mountaintops, right? We forget about that. We just want to jump from one mountaintop to another in our gliders, which we don't have. Does joy fill your home? Or is whining, complaining, and grousing? And I'm not talking about just laughter. Do I have to remind you of the winometer? Trying to have a joyous home without Jesus is like trying to push a self-propelled lawnmower. With not engaging in self-propulsion, or worse yet, it's not on. You've heard the Italian joke, what's that noise? That's the punchline? Yeah. You know, the guy says, this self-propelled motion doesn't work. I pushed all day and don't do anything. And the guy, well, let me see what's happening. What's that noise? So now you know the whole joke now. But you've tried that. Have you ever pushed a car to try to jumpstart it? And you ever have the guy not pop the clutch? Oh. Yeah, that's the Christian life without Jesus. Yeah, you get in your car and it doesn't start. It just happened to me last Tuesday. Battery's dead. Literally deader than a doornail. Nothing was on. Not even my radio, okay? It was dead, okay? Great car. Looked good, at least for a yellow car for 13 years old. but something's missing. The power of the resurrection's missing. I could turn that key all I want. And worse yet, it doesn't come out of the key ignition sometimes. But so same thing in your Christian life. And what does that look like? Real simple. And we start with basic prayers, okay? Lord Jesus Christ, be the mother of my life my kids need right now. Or Lord Jesus Christ, be the kid in my life my mother needs right now. Or be the husband in my life. Real simple start with. Not God, not Jesus, but Lord Jesus Christ. Real simple. Why do I say it? Because the enemy's got a lot of false Jesuses out there. And God could be a nebulous word to you. Now, childlike faith, it may work. But the power is in Jesus and the resurrection. For there's no other name given among men by which we might be. You know the word. And at the name of Jesus, every knee shall and every tongue confess that He is Lord to the glory of God the Father. No other name. So you start with those simple prayers. And then you go do it or don't do it. Real simple. You're driving home from work and you've had a bad day and you don't want your wife to meet you at the door because you know she's not going to have dinner ready anyway. So you say, Lord Jesus Christ, be the husband of my life, my wife needs. And you walk in the door, and she starts meeting you with all the honeydews, and instead of flying off the handle, you may say, okay, I'll get that as soon as I can. You could say, look, can I have a little time out here? I need to have some space so I can just come home and then I'll look at these. There's a lot of answers. Whatever the Lord leads you to do, you hear it and you do it. And you don't, how many times did I tell you to tell me when I get home? I mean, that happens, doesn't it? Oh, yeah, and if you're Italian, it definitely happens because you talk louder, they hear you better. You need that, right? So, let's get rid of the wino-meter and let's trust Jesus as we confess the engine needs to be turned on. Have you found this joy in the power, in the process of the resurrection? The hard times will come. How are you holding up under them? Maybe you are not pursuing knowing the Lord Jesus Christ through this process. Like every eye closed and head bowed. Every eye closed and head bowed. I'm going to ask several questions for you. First question. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ personally, is He your joy? The quiet rejoicing in your soul over the process of the resurrection? Then rejoice. Question number two. You know the Lord Jesus Christ, but have you been passionately pursuing Him? If not, confess that right now. If so, then praise Him for it and thank Him for the passion. Question three. You do not know the Lord Jesus Christ personally. You've heard a lot about Him. You know His name. You may use it as a swear word every now and again, but you don't know Him. But today, something's clicked in your heart, in your soul, and you desire to know Him. Allow me to lead you in a very brief prayer. You can pray after me in your hearts. Lord Jesus Christ, I thank You that You've died for my sins. I thank You, Lord Jesus Christ, that You've raised from the dead. I receive the grace and forgiveness You offer me on the cross. I thank You that You've paid the debt for my sin. I thank You that You've raised from the dead, and I believe that with all my heart. I now confess You as my Lord, and I commit my life and dedicate my life to You to follow in Your footsteps. In Jesus' name, amen. The fourth person I want to ask a question to, for those who have no desire right now, that's okay. We don't want to have premature births. But I thank You for being here this morning. Why? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You've heard some new words this morning, that the resurrection is not nonsense. Let's stand and pray. Together, Heavenly Father, I believe the Lord Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. I embrace the power of the resurrection and the process of becoming like Him. In Jesus' name, amen. Holy Father, You've heard the prayers of Your people. Now ignite their souls to worship You this morning in this song, He is alive in us.